I want you to think about two things as you continue to move forward in your life. I want you to reorient your thinking to progress, not perfection. You're never going to be perfect. It's okay to strive for it, but you have to understand that progress is really what this is about. It's a journey, not a destination. And as you're on that journey, you're going to have to constantly be making trade-off decisions. And remember this, you can have almost anything you want, but you can't have everything you want. So everything you're deciding in your life, it's a matter of trade-offs.
Hey, what's up, loyal listeners? Welcome back to another awesome episode of the Life Inner Show podcast. I'm your host, Jason Wojo. On the Life Inner Show, we help people make more, work less, and live better lives. Polish Peter, my co-host, is here with me. What's up, dude?
Hey, somebody needs to be looking good on this episode, on this podcast. And
is
it's
it you?
Not me. No, I just said it's not me. So, I mean...
Well, let's be honest, man. This is kind of like the peanut show here. Like, we got, like, you know, some commentary, some jokes, hopefully some content, a little bit of entertainment.
So who's the peanut? You're the peanut, I'm the monkey, or you're the monkey, I'm the peanut?
I'm not sure that analogy is, like, one we really want to explore, but, like, it's there nonetheless. But, dude, we've got an awesome episode coming up. We are going to be talking with Mark Jordan, who... really, really cool story with him, man. He has a huge background in investment banking, you know, real estate, financial services. We don't really get into that, though. We get into his passion, and that is something that I think is really relevant for our listeners. And this is, by the way, I want to just say right now, we're going to talk about, like, how Mark really steps into and challenges men to become better, to grow, to make sure that they're living and experiencing and being all they can. Now, if you're a woman right now, I still want you to listen to this, because you're going to learn some lessons about some of the challenges that men think through. You're going to learn how perhaps your spouse thinks and views things. And it's going to be valuable for you to even see some things that you can apply to your own life. Because quite frankly, although he is talking about men specifically with what he does, the exact same lessons apply to females. Like, it's universal. Like, so what we talk about is equally valuable regardless of who you are.
Yeah, so I mean, I would encourage you to listen to this episode, because, you know, if you're a man, it's a great conversation to have, because we talk about some crucial conversations. How you have crucial conversations in life, right? That's one thing. And how you be more authentic in your life and to be able to connect with people, the community. We talk about community, how to surround yourself with the right people in your life that will help you grow, as opposed to, you know, kind of tear you down and things like that. So these are the kinds of things that, whether you are 20, 30, 40, or 60 years old, I think are important for you to start to look and considering, to build that way of looking at life, thinking about it from someone who's been there, done that. And I'm excited to share this episode with you guys.
Let's do it right now, man. Let's go into our interview with Mark Jordan. Mark, what's up, man? Great seeing you again. Welcome to the show.
Great seeing you too, Jason and Peter. I'm really excited to be with you guys today.
So, Mark, I think of you as almost like a combination of like a business guy with a combination of being on a mission as well. Which, by the way, like, is totally in alignment with what we teach, and especially like you're kind of. And correct me if I'm misspeaking, but your kind of initiative, your focus, you're drawn towards men specifically and helping them kind of level up. What is it about this, you know, that is so passionate for you? And like, why do you find this so important?
Yeah. You know, oftentimes some people ask, why just for men? And the easy answer for me is, I am a man. I know my life struggles, right? I've got plenty of friends. I know their life struggles. So, you know, there's nothing better to talk about than these struggles that we go through and that we share in life together. And I've always been really passionate. I say always, probably since maybe, I don't know, maybe my early 30s. Because when I was growing up, I didn't really have like a good mentor figure in my life. And I didn't even know that existed. And then after I got out of graduate school, I had some great mentors in my life. And it really, you know, opened my eyes to the importance of that. And then once I experienced that, I became passionate about investing in younger men. So really just that component of knowing how good that feels, and it cut 20 years off my learning curve and still does. Now, I still have mentors in my life. And so that's really driven me to a passion to really invest in men. to help them move the ball down the field in whatever area of their life they're stuck, and we're all stuck in some area.
Right, right. So who do you feel like resonates the most with what you share, and what are some of the challenges they are experiencing?
Yeah, well, broadly speaking, we always say if you're stuck in some area of your life, you know, what we do at Unravel is going to be meaningful for you. If we look more specifically at, say, demographics or personas, or, you know, who really tends to gravitate to Unravel, it tends to be a guy in their mid-20s to mid-40s. Now, we have guys in their 60s and 70s that participate in Unravel, for sure. But the vast majority tend to be in that demographic. And they're really all types. We've tried to find, is there a common theme? Are they stuck in one particular area? And Jason, you and I have talked in the past about this idea of faith, family, friends, fitness, finances, these sort of five F's that we think about in everything that we deliver, yep. You know, in our content. But they're in one area. You know, men are, it just varies. They're all stuck in some area of their life, sometimes more than one. And it's like, which area they feel the most pain is generally the one they're going to focus on first to get unstuck. But the reality is we can grow in all those areas.
What is it? So when let's kind of like define this word stuck, and like, what is it about? Is it a perceived stuck? Is it a real being stuck? Is it a sense of not kind of living up to what you think you're capable of, or that you see others doing? Like, how does somebody really identify as being in this position? And also, how do you get somebody? This is especially, man, with men. All right. Now, yes, I'm stereotyping.
Yeah, we but can do that since we're men.
Yeah, right. Well, sometimes like we're tough. We're gonna do this on our own.
Right.
Right. So how do you open somebody up to that possibility and help them recognize the challenge?
Yeah, man, I wish there was a secret sauce to like, here's the secret phrase or whatever to do that. What we've landed on and discovered over time is that you cannot want it more than the other person. So the first ingredient is, do you as a man want this more than I do if I'm here to help you in some way? Help meaning through Unravel or just individually in a relationship. But if I want it more than you, we're not going to get anywhere. So that's one. They have to want it more. And I have never discovered a way to foster that in someone if they don't discover it themselves, except to ask them questions and to note how they're not showing up well. And I've found that with men that once they feel that, which I like sports metaphors. So to me, the way I like to talk about it is they're not moving the ball down the field. And it comes out in their dialogue, right? When they're talking, they're going, man, at work, I'm not making the progress, or my marriage isn't really what I hoped it would be. Or man, I'm out of shape. I'm just not working out the way I should or eating the way I should. And then really trying to ask good questions that lead men to realize, yeah, what would you call that? You know, if you're not moving the ball down the field, stuck. I'm stuck. And usually some derivation of that word is where men land. And then it's just a question of, do you want to become unstuck? You know, do you want to start moving the ball down the field? And unfortunately, and I know I've been this at times in my life where I'm stuck and I readily admit it, but I'm not really ready to do anything about it. That's the piece. And we're trying to meet men whenever they're ready to do something about it. We want them to know they've got a pathway to accomplish that with.
Well, you know, I think you got guys that aren't ready to admit that they're stuck. You have, and maybe, listen, maybe it's denial. Maybe it is avoidance. Maybe it's like, you know, they're taught like, it's pride, right? So you're dealing with all these emotions, like all of these perspectives, but yet how do you determine whether or not somebody, like, I guess what I'm saying is, like, you know, sometimes, and I'll give you an example. Sometimes within Life and Air, we know somebody needs help.
Yes.
And we see it, and we see the consequences if they continue on that road. And for whatever reason, they just are reluctant to step forward, man. And it breaks my heart. And then often I'm not a genie, but like, you know, I can predict pretty well of who's going to struggle, and you want it so bad for them. But it, like you said, if they don't want it, or that not willing to take that step, like, what do you do? Like, do you just kind of say like, hey, I'm here when you need me, or like, how do you leave it?
Yeah, that's a great thought, because It is hard. In fact, one of the things I've always struggled with personally is just carrying like emotional pain of what people are going through, and it being
Right.
hard for me to just let it go and realize, you know, I can't do that. They have to do it. They have to want it more than me. And I've just always have been a big believer in having, you know, good conversations with people and tell them, hey, you know, this really isn't a productive time that we're spending together. You know, if this is more of a one-on-one conversation, not an unravel, because once you're unraveled, it's different. But if I'm having a one-on-one conversation, hey, this really isn't a productive time. And let me share with you why. We've been talking, we've been connecting, we've been talking about these things that you can make progress in. And I don't know if you've noticed, but they're not really happening. So we're not really, this isn't productive time. So whenever you get to a point where you want it more than I do, then let's reconnect. And then what I find solace in personally is that, and it doesn't work all the time, but it's what I try to lean into, is that we all know there are multiple points of contact a person who is stuck probably needs to have to begin to make that first step. And so maybe I'm point of contact number two, and maybe it's 2 points later, then they're really going to make that step to get unstuck and get involved in something. So maybe I don't get to see that, but at least I know that I had an encounter with a person. I planted some sort of a seed. I at least made some contribution to whatever point of contact, whatever number of point of contacts they need before they become unstuck. And it's hard. At the end of the day, it's just accepting the fact that this person just doesn't want it more than me. Therefore, my time is more valuable. It's spent in a more productive way with someone else who isn't in that space.
Man, that's I appreciate you sharing that because like I struggle with this a lot, like where I also feel the pain of people, like I hurt for people when I see them suffering and I want, but it's the end of the day, it's like the whole like you can lead a horse to water kind of thing, like and I just don't know how to like really like, you know, without being pushy and being like, no, you need you listen, you're like on the edge of the cliff right now. And I've heard people describe it differently, and so I was curious where you fell on that. And so talk to me about like when you're getting unstuck, and you've mentioned several different areas, right? They all require a level of growth, of development, of maybe doing things differently, thinking differently. Are there any similarities that you've seen across patterns of this plateau where like it's usually like is it the same culprits just showing up in different places, like a relationship or in your health or in your business, or is it truly like different, you know, different the symptoms maybe are showing up differently, but there's one underlying cause, or are there more than one cause that you see frequently? The reason I'm asking is because I want to help people start to diagnose a little bit themselves to see if there's some things they can look out for.
There's so many things that I think we could, you know, put into this pool of conversation here that would be meaningful in that regard. But here's a couple that I found to be helpful. One is, I think people, and I know for myself, you know, for many, many years, that this was something that was hard for me. First, how do you put words around what you're really struggling with at this particular point in time? Usually people have throwaway phrases. They're saying, I'm stuck, I'm not doing good at work. What does that really mean? Like, in really learning to put words around, to frame what the real core issue is that's causing you to feel stuck. I love Henry Cloud's an author that I love a lot, and he wrote a book called Integrity, and he has this great definition for integrity: the courage to meet the demands of reality. And I love that because more times than not, I have found that it's the reality piece that men struggle with. It's really not the courage part, it's reality. So this is my comment about putting words around it. Until you can put words around what your reality is, okay, you have been doing the same thing for 9 years and you've made no progress. That's your reality. You know, have you really put words around it that way before? So that's that. I think that's the number one piece, is that discovering, articulating what your reality is. The second piece, then, I feel like people are missing at practical level just tools. They're not equipped. So maybe they're stuck, let's say, for example, in their marriage. You know, okay, they discover this reality, they accept it, they put words around it. Then what tools do they have? They just keep doing the same thing. And so without proper tools, people continue to remain in that stuck position. And that's part of what we do at Unravel, is give them tools in these five Fs, if you will, faith, family, friends, fitness, finances. We give them tools to become unstuck and then to make real progress in those aspects of that. So those are two big things I would highlight that I think help men move when they're ready.
I love that.
Yeah, man, I think it's a really good conversation to have, because I think a lot of people are struggling, especially men, because a lot of it has to do with the fact, like, you know, pride and I'm a man, you know what I mean? I don't talk about my feelings,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Those kinds of things, right?
Insecurity.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting you brought up insecurity, right? Because they feel like I'm secure, but deep down inside, there was some insecurity about that and how I talked about it and who do I talk to and all those kinds of things. And you mentioned also the tools. For a man, I think that sounds really good, because, okay, tool, I got a tool. All right, let's use it. What's the tool?
Yeah, that's right? The right word.
Right, right, right. Right, that's right. And the other thing is what we found that, or believe that scalable, sustained growth best occurs in a group setting. So I don't remember the stat. I don't know what the stats are today, but I remember years ago when I wrote some books, the average person reads 1.5 books a year. All right. But even if you read one book in a year and it's a very meaningful book for your life, it's very hard to then take that information and apply it consistently in your life. But if you're in a group setting where people are working on that together, then it becomes something that becomes scalable and sustainable. And I think to your point, Peter, it's we feel like we got it. It's pride. And frankly, it's I don't know that we're given enough I don't throw permission off, if that's the right word, to express insecurity. I mean, that's not something I could do until, you know, of recent years, to say, yeah, I'm just insecure about that. I have anxiety about that. I'm, you know, and that's actually an intimacy builder at the end of the day, when we can have those conversations, because they're feeling the same way. All three of us feel this the same way. And when we share that with each other, we feel closer.
Yeah. And I think it's one of the reasons, I think, is because if we were to go and share and be, quote unquote, like you said, intimate, is that looks like weakness, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I think that's why a man don't step out of it. I mean, I have students who are men in my own masterminds that, you know, I don't talk about my feelings. I don't cry. I have a man like, I've never cried in my entire life, you know? Well, unless I hit my thumb with a nail, I mean, with a hammer, then yes, okay, I'll cry, you know? So listen, so let me ask you this, because sounds to me like you have a lot of experience in that area to helping people, men specifically, in there. So can you share with us maybe a couple of tools that have helped you to help others, whether it's, you know, one of those areas like finances or family or anything like that, a couple of tools that you can show?
Yeah. I mean, there's so many. If I could pick, well, I'll just highlight one right now that I think transcends all aspects of our lives, and that's how to have crucial conversations. You know, Kerry Patterson wrote a great book called How to Have, actually, I think the title is How to Have Crucial Conversations, but I think maybe it's just Crucial Conversations. And when you really stop and think, it's interesting, as we go about our daily lives and have interactions with people in all aspects of our lives, really, most people don't have a grid, a system, a process, a method to have important, difficult conversations with people in their life. They don't. So imagine if just that one area of your life you could grow in and just make 20% progress. You've got your personal relationships are going to improve. Even if the other person, you know, in the relationship isn't doing the same thing, you're going to make progress. You're going to have more understanding. Business, same thing. So I think that's huge. And if I, that one book alone, I think can change someone's life in that regard. The other part, that this is more of a mindset, and this is something that became really, I think, front and center in my life, certainly in the last 10 years, that if I could go back, I wish I would have been more intentional about one word, and that's curiosity. I wish that all my relationships and all my important encounters in my life, I entered them with a sincere, you can weaponize curiosity as well, right? But a sincere curiosity to go, you know, Jason, man, you know, I'm really curious. So what's, how are you feeling, or what's behind this? Or you reacted this way, or Peter, you know, you said this thing, I'm really curious, like what led you to that? Or, You thought this about me. Why? In that sincere curiosity, it's amazing. There's a great book called Leadership in the Art of, I'm drawing a blank on it too, Leadership in the Arts, written by the Arvinger Group, Leadership in the Art of Self-Deception, or I can't remember, but Google that and you'll see a wonderful book. And it really does help you focus on what's going on in that other person's life first. And it's Covey, seek first to understand, right? Of course, it's all some repackaging of that. But I think that's the other piece for me, two practical things that can make a difference. Being curious doesn't even require a skill. That's just a mindset intentionality. So, okay, I'm going to be curious one time today. Mm-hmm. Right. Tomorrow I'm going to be curious two times, and let's see where that leads.
And call me crazy, but based on what you're saying, that having crucial conversations and being curious, you can integrate those two, huh?
Exactly. Wow. And next thing you know, you're having a life-giving conversation with someone that was previously, you know, didn't make a lot of progress on.
Is this the bookmark?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's it.
Leadership and getting out of the box. Getting out of the box. All right. But yeah, I'll check that
like,
out.
Look cool. at you, Vojo, being all
bro,
like,
I'm like
know,
on this
Mr.
today.
Tech.
I'm like,
boom, 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 boom. Yeah. You're Mr. Tech guru over
like,
there, man.
What is happening over here? Because usually
yeah,
we don't do that
yep,
on the podcast.
You guys,
I'm like,
yeah, see that one minute late to the podcast was producing fruit.
In fact, if you Googled, I bet like top 100 leadership books or something, that book would, I bet, be on 8 out of 10 lists. It's yeah, that right, it's that good and important
the,
of a leadership book. Yeah.
Love it, man. Well, go ahead,
Bojo.
I just say, so I want to get back for a second, something you said though, about community. And this is a huge part of life in Air, but from your perspective, you know, you said something about like change really being incredibly empowered by community. What kind of community, what kind of people, what does that look like? Because, you know, the first thing that comes to mind when I hear the community is like iron sharpens iron, right? All mm-hmm. all the proverbs that are referring to the value of having wise counsel, of peers, the companion of fools suffers harm kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
right? Like Bible talk
right.
kind of stuff. Talk
yeah.
to me a little bit about community.
So, and this is a great, you know, sort of commercial for Unravel Groups and what we're doing, because I'm 61, and I feel like I've been in every group that you could possibly be in, you know, of all different flavors. And the vast majority have had values for sure. But just to frame this, let's say you have one group that on one end of the spectrum would be more socially shared experience oriented. It's more hang time. We're going to get together. Sometimes people call it an accountability group or whatever, but it's really just hang time. How you doing, bro? What's up? What's going on in your life? And it's really just sharing information, you know, sharing experience together. Then you have the other end of the spectrum, which I would call, let's say, the highly intellectual. Like I used to do BSF. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that, but wonderful. It's like 7 years through the Bible. It's intense. It's intellectual. It's great. It's wonderful. It's not for everyone, though. You know, they're all over the world, but it's still not something that appeals to the vast majority of the people. And I realized that the men that I knew, what they wanted is they wanted to be in a group where they could accomplish something together. This is a big ingredient. It kind of like run a marathon together instead of, because hang time, at some point you go, man, I like you, but I'm not really growing any. I'm in the same place I was, you know, 5 years ago. So Unravel Groups was really meant to meet that spot. So it's kind of in between. There's definitely the intellectual component. There's definitely the community component. But the real thing is we are on a journey together. So let's say we're reading a book. Let's say we're reading Crucial Conversations together in Unravel Groups. That is one of the books that we do. We spend a month on that. And then we meet once a month, 3 hours long. And so outside of that, you're reading the book and a few other things. You get together. Here's the big part. Here's where the growth occurs. Most group environments, when you show up, let's say you're reading a book. Peter, you say, you know, to someone in the group, hey, what'd you think about the book? And the answer sounds something like this. Oh, man, it was great. I really got a lot out of it. Really loved it. And, you know, I really see some ways in there that I can grow. And Unravel, that's not acceptable. In Unravel, you show up, you have to have prepared comments. You have to have discussion around how you are going to apply it and how you have applied it in your life. And so we teach men to show up well, because we really believe, and my experience has been that on the whole, particularly faith-based men do not have the best reputation in the marketplace. I mean, faith, men of faith should have, they should have such a great reputation of excellence that everyone's drawn to that. But generally speaking, that's really not what you see. So we want men to learn to show up excellently. It's like you show up, you're going to talk about this in a professional way, talk about application. Well, guess what? When you're talking about that, now your learning really is becoming more ingrained because you're actually studying it as opposed to just reading it for reading's sake. So that, I think, is the kind of secret sauce, the DNA, at least in Unravel groups. Obviously, anyone can do it, but that creates this scalable, sustained growth. And then you start stacking on top of that other things throughout the year-long experience, and you wake up and you go, wow, I've really accomplished a lot. And one of our mantras is progress, not perfection. Like, I'm the worst at feeling like I could be perfect and then feeling shame when I'm not. And we know intellectually that's not a way to be, but it's hard not to be, particularly when you see the gap between where you could be and where you are. So we want men to celebrate progress as they do this, run this journey together.
Man, I love that. And so using the book, so as you're talking, man, something hit me, which is like so many relationships out there in the real world are, I don't want to say superficial, but you're not talking about the real stuff. You're not diving deep. You're not experiencing that real kind of like, I don't know, like, you know, kind of like a connection in on a deep level. And when you talked about the book example, I love that you said, oh yeah, like, because listen, when you were talking, I'm like, that's exactly like what most people say, right? Like, oh, I was good. I saw a couple, but you kind of like gave it a whole new dimension. How does somebody now, and by the way, is that a gen, I'm assuming like, and maybe I shouldn't assume, but like, that's probably a general principle about a lot of things in life, right? Like,
of course,
how do we apply, how do we, you know, really, really dig in on this? Do you have any, and I know that, and this is a difficult question and I'm not even sure I'm phrasing it correctly. Are there any other illustrations you can think of like that, that whether it's with, you know, your groups or that you've seen, like, I just love this little micro example you gave about books. Where else can people look to see like other areas that they've kind of been playing at, like just like superficially or like surface level? Do you have any examples like of other things maybe you guys do that is deeper than what most people would expect?
Yeah. And I think first, just to highlight or amplify that point is, these things take practice. Right. And that's the piece that people, that's hard to do by yourself, is to practice these things, you know, these communication skills, these, you know, other skills that we're talking about here. The thing that I really encourage people to do, and it can be very eye-opening, is you need to go to people, at least five people, but they can't be people that aren't going to give you honest feedback. And you need to ask them, hey, what are areas, what are you seeing in me right now that are blind spots? What are areas you feel like I can improve on? Where are areas that you look like I'm stuck? In fact, every year I send to my closer, you know, more intimate relationships and friends, I send to them. I don't do it face to face because I want people to have time to think, but I send them an email every year and say, hey, you know, what, if anything, have I done in the last year, you know, that has offended you or created some fracture in our relationship that you want to share with me? You know, this is a great time to do it. And it's an extension really of that question that I ask people. I encourage people to ask people to, and then if you get talk to five people and they say, oh, nothing, man, it's all good, you're not talking to the right five people. Because if you talk, you have to, because we're not perfect. If you're talking to the right people, they will give you, I think that then can become a really wake up call to go, wow, I had no idea, you know? And I think that's a simple way for people to get to expose the blind spots that they have.
Dude, so would, well, you say your wife asking, and your kid, what's that?
Now that you ask, you pull out the list like Santa's looking. Like...
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So would you say your wife and your kids will be the best people to go to?
Well, you know what? I do send that to my wife and kids every year, but I think, It's harder oftentimes for family because, there's history there.
Yeah,
it
I
sometimes
get it,
make her you go, wait, you said that about me? Well, what about this thing that you did? So, but yeah. I would include my wife and kids for sure. But they certainly can't be the only group. It's got to be people outside of that group that are friends, people that you have interaction with professionally as well, that you feel will give you good feedback.
Well, yeah. And here's one of the problems with this, Mark, is because like if people are playing small, they're being superficial with people, those other people may not know the true you, and they may not have a complete picture of your life such that they can give you qualified feedback, right? So it's kind of like a little bit of a cycle you could create for yourself if you don't dive a little bit deeper and find those people.
That's right. And here's the good news. That will become evident if you don't have good constructive feedback from people, because that means, well, you must not be being authentic with people, or you're talking to the wrong people, because the answer cannot be, it's all good, man.
Yeah.
Or you don't provide them with a space to be able to give you that feedback, because you might be like this kind of a person.
It's defensive.
Nobody's going to tell me what to do, kind of a thing.
Right.
Right.
That's right. Yeah.
So.
Hey, we'll get right back to the episode. Before we do, I want to tell you about an upcoming Get a Life Getaway that we have in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, October 1st through 3rd. Mark your calendars right now, because this is an event you're going to want to be at. This is where Peter and I will personally walk you through the process of creating the proven process, I might add, the proven process of creating a life and a vision for the perfect life that you've always wanted. We've had over 10,000 people go through this event. We've been doing it for almost about, 15 years now. We've learned a thing or two about how to do this. We've learned about best practices and what things actually work and make this a reality versus what's out there that's fluff and what's out there that's just pie in the sky approach. That is not this. This is strategy. This is tactics. We're going to walk you through every component to making this reality. We're going to show you how to fit all those pieces of the puzzle together so that you can have the dream life you've always wanted. Again, October 1st through 3rd, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. There'll be a link in the show notes, or go to lifenear.com right now. You'll see the list of upcoming events and you can register. Hope to see you there.
So listen, I love what you're sharing on this podcast. I want to make sure that we respect your time. I'm just curious from my own perspective. If I gave you a megaphone to talk to the entire humanity, I mean, talking about all the men in the world for 5 minutes, what would you say to them?
If I had a megaphone to talk to all of humanity.
All the men in the world.
All the men in the world. And so my first thing would be faith oriented. It'd be, okay, I would want them to understand that the truth, wisdom is available to them, and it's accessible to them in ways that they could never imagine. So that's the high level. If it's kind of a level below that, within the context of that, I would want men to understand that I would want men to reorient their life. I would say, men, I want you to think about two things as you continue to move forward in your life. I want you to reorient your thinking to progress, not perfection. You're never going to be perfect. It's okay to strive for it, but you have to understand that progress is really what this is about. It's a journey, not a destination. And as you're on that journey, you're going to have to constantly be making trade-off decisions. And remember this, you can have almost anything you want, but you can't have everything you want. So everything you're deciding in your life, it's a matter of trade-offs. You have to decide, oh, you want to take a great trip? Maybe you're not buying the same car you're going to go. Oh, you want to spend more time with your family? Okay, maybe you're making a different choice at work. Or you're in a season where you need to make an advancement vocationally. Well, you're going to have a talk with your family and go, hey, this is going to be a season where I'm not going to be around as much. Or the list is endless. But I really believe all these decisions we're making are a series of trade-offs, choices that we're making. And if men, I feel like could those two things, I think, could make a difference in the trajectory of their life and the way they orient toward the journey. Because and the last thing I would say to them, I go, hey, for me, it was a long time before I realized that the journey was more important than just the destination. Because I was always like, man, I got to get to this destination as quickly as I can. Realizing once you get there, there's another destination in the distance that you're trying to get to after that. And then you kind of miss all the important lessons along the way.
I love it, man. That's great stuff, man. Because Yeah, I mean, think about this, right? Because we're so, especially in entrepreneurs, business owners, right? We are so like trained into the goals and destinations and markers and KPIs and all that kind of stuff. And most of the time, that drive actually allows us to completely miss the present moment, just being present on the daily life with people around us and family and things like that. So I love that you brought that up. So
yeah, and it's too, I guess the last piece I would say is that, you know, you can pursue all those things outside of faith, right? And that's going to leave you with an empty feeling. Mm-hmm. If you pursue those things within the context of faith, then you're going to have a feeling of contentment, a feeling of peace, a feeling of purpose in your life that you can't get outside of that context within the whole faith piece. Because we think that's the DNA that wraps around everything. It's not just a segment. It's the DNA that wraps around everything.
Love it, man. Mark, I love what you're doing. You're a blessing. And where do people find out more about Unravel and about what you're doing?
Well, we actually have a page for your listeners. So if they go to unravelgroups.com/TLS, obviously the Life and Air show, but they go to unravelgroups.com/TLS, they can learn more about our offerings and, you know, everything that we're up to.
Love it, man. Keep fighting the good fight, my friend. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, guys. It was great. Great spending time with you.
Man, I really enjoyed talking with him. He has a lot of, I think, you know, and this is what's cool, man. You know, we have these guests on the podcast, and I just, first of all, I learn every single time. Like, so when he was talking about the book of like, yeah, and he's giving the feedback of like what it would be a typical response, like in my head, I'm like, that's kind of what I would say. Mm-hmm. Until he challenged it. And so I'm like, wow, I never thought of that. Right. Really? So like I'm seeing areas in myself that I can play bigger on or dig deeper in, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, that book example was a great example of how we actually do that. But think about it this way. That book example, let's consider for a minute, it's a metaphor,
right?
That could be a metaphor for so many different things in life. Think about it this way, like if somebody comes up to you, the listener right now, and you're struggling something with life, and somebody says, hey man, hey woman, or whatever, how you doing? What's the typical answer? Good. I'm all right. Great. But we don't dive deeper into this, right? And yeah. Sometimes maybe it's not the time to do it, but we don't literally tell someone to be able to go and step out outside of the normal conversation that we have, like I'm good,
right,
and things like that. Think about it this way, like I used to, back in the day, before I started this whole journey, whenever somebody would come to me, I would say, they would say, how you doing? I would say, same, you know what, different day.
Right.
So, but that was the typical response. And I'm, if there was something going on in my life, like something bad, even like during my divorce, I would say, I'm good. But we don't typically open up and actually share this. So I mean, you can apply this to so many different areas of your life, whether it's your mental health, whether it's business, whether it's personal relationship, whether it's kids. You know, we have people coming to students in my life that say, like, you know, my kids don't want to share anything with me. You know, one of the first thing I ask them, well, do you share yourself with them? You're expecting them to share with you, but are you sharing yourself with them? Are you being vulnerable? Are you being authentic with them? Because if that's not the case, how do you expect them to be? You know, so it is, that could be used as a metaphor for so many different things in life.
Well, it totally is, man. And that's why I asked him about that, because like, it's such a great example. And, you know, so going, this theme of going deeper, right? I think being curious, like it's such an interesting concept to really explore and apply. And
one of the things idea too, right?
Yeah.
Be curious in life. What?
Yeah. So I found real value there. The other place that I love that he talked about too is like how he emails, you know, like 5-ish people every year to ask them for feedback, for, you know, insights, like what are my limiting beliefs? What are my blind spots? How have I been as a friend or as a spouse? Or getting that feedback is so crucial, because like And, you know, I know you were joking about like maybe, you know, hey, is your spouse or your kids the best people to ask? But maybe someone important to you who really knows you is the best person to ask, assuming, like you said, they can be honest with you, right? And you're not going to bite their head off. You're not going to hold it against them. You're open to feedback. They know who you are. They see the real you behind closed doors. Those are all important qualifications for this. And by the way, dude, this whole idea of community, this is the thing. And now, no offense, Peter, I know what you're about to think. You know, I'm going to say this right now. Our life and our coaches are amazing, but I believe it's the community that puts us like above anybody else. We've been super blessed to have an incredible, and I'm giving the glory to God in this for sure, the credit to God. We've just attracted people who genuinely want to see people succeed, who are there to pick you up when you're down, who are there to celebrate when you have a win. And like that is rare. And so what he's talking about in this episode, I've personally witnessed how important, how critical this can be for someone's growth.
Oh yeah, I totally believe it. I'm not taking any offense to that, because without that community, without that mastermind model that we have, yeah, I don't think people will have the breakthroughs that they are doing. Because it's one thing to having conversation one-on-one with someone like a coach, but it's a whole different area when you're sitting there in the room with a whole bunch of people that love, appreciate you and being real, authentic with you. And they're not judging you. Mm-hmm. And then you can get to share about what's going on, what's happening. And then the whole room comes around you to help you, you know, get through it or get to that, you know, goal, whatever that you're trying to do that. Right. Mm-hmm. So I think that is such a huge community. It's so powerful, especially right now, because think about it this way. For the majority of the part, we're kind of separated right now in life. The technology has kind of put us into this little, like this. You know, I'm in front of my phone like this. I mean, I will tell you this. So me and my wife just went for a walk. We do these walks all over the place here in the area, and there's a park that we go to. This past Sunday, we went to this park, and the parking was packed. It was full. And I was like, what is going on over here? Maybe there was some kind of thing going on in the park. So we go over there, and there was this group of people, and you're from there, maybe 20s to maybe 40s, just in one area. And guess what? There's probably 30 of them in there. Every single person is like this on a phone. Mm-hmm. And I think the reason for that is because there's some kind of a game where they have to be in this, you know, geographical area. But think about it. They're all in there together and nobody's talking to each other. Everybody's just on their own phone. So that community, right. I think it's so much more important in today's world that you can only imagine. And when you step and create a community for yourself, or just, you know, come alongside someone to be in that kind of community, it will transform how you live life. I know it did for me, and I know it's doing for a lot of my students. So yeah, I think that's a huge important piece for you to be able to create that.
Yeah, totally, man. And listen, like, you know, and I know that not everybody's, you know, going to be a life in your member, but regardless of where you are, like, you got to create that community. You got to find those people. And I know it's not easy, but you just got to put some real effort in. You're going to be disappointed on occasion. You're not going to find the right person, but you just got to keep going. Because the alternative is you just like live a, you know, superficial version of what connection should be like. And you're not going to experience kind of that sense of, you know, bonding, of camaraderie, of, you know, true, like, authentic growth that you could otherwise.
Yeah. One last thing that just before we jump off this particular episode, because you mentioned about that emailing those five people. I think there needs to be this from your perspective. If you are emailing the listener, if you're emailing somebody else, you need to have, you know, let go of that pride, ego, whatever, because you might not want to hear what you're going to hear, and actually be able to take that as a constructive criticism and not be offended by it, whatever the case may be. I think that's an important aspect of it. The other aspect that I want you to consider is this. As you're listening to this particular episode, you're listening to us talk and those emailing those five people. And if you have people in your life, let's say you're married or you have kids or whatever, or you are in the community, ask yourself this question. Am I listening? Are you listening? Because I would imagine that people are telling you that what you got going on, you know, those questions that you want to ask during those five things, you've been people have been telling you this for a little while. So the question is, am I listening? Am I really, truly listening? And I know this from my own experience because, you know, we can go back to it, but I wasn't listening for a very long time. And that cost me. So I'm just asking you, the listener right now, to ask yourself, am I really listening to what people are saying?
Love it, man. And I'm going to ask one more thing right now, which is if you liked this episode, if you loved it, do one of three things. Give us a review, leave a comment on the podcast. Number two, just give us a star review, up to 5 stars on that. Or three, share it with somebody. Now, you don't have to do one of three. You could do all three. But just as a starting point, we would really greatly appreciate it. Because this is how we reach other people. This is how the world of algorithms help other people find the Life Inner Show, and how we can to collectively help people level up through our own version of community. We'll see you next week, everyone. Take care. Have a great one.